This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to how the Jets are handling things, what it means for the future of one quarter. I like what Aaron Glenn is doing.
I apologize. I was just making a broad assumption about the Jets.
He's taking charge. I like it. I have no idea who the hell his quarterback's going to be, but I like what he's done so far with handling his staff and apparently the demands he put out there if somebody wanted to still be his quarterback. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Someone that gives a great national perspective on the NFL is our buddy Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. He was in New Orleans throughout the week. He was there for Super Bowl 59. Matt, appreciate it, man. I know you had a busy week. I don't even really want to ask you too much about the game itself. Now we are on Wednesday, but just bigger picture, what do you think the result of Sunday's game does? Is it just the simple, hey, this is the big pivot again for the Chiefs, like the Bucs, where they're just going to go all in on O-line again? Or do you think there's a different path forward for them?
So, look, going into the game, if you told me that I would be sitting here, what, I don't know, 100 hours later, thinking that they were going to be really aggressive this offseason, I would have said, I think you're nuts. I think that game was so embarrassing. It's going to force them to do something. Like, I actually think if you're a Chiefs fan, them losing that way was better than them losing 27-24. Because that's easy to just go, well, play here or there. That game was such a disgrace that I think it is going to make Brett Veach sit there and go, look, we got to fix left tackle, period. And not like Suamataia and Morris and DJ Humphreys having a three-way battle royale at St. Joe's. Like, draft a guy in the first round or spend real money this offseason on Cam Robinson or a Lamar Jackson, like somebody like that. I also think in a weird way, as bad as your O-line was, I think it almost makes you feel like you need to keep Trey Smith. You're going to open up another hole in that offensive line. You're going to let that guy walk. And as I've had a lot of fans tell me, well, we'll just put Suamati in at guard. You're going to, that's the answer. Like, what if that's a disaster? So I think they've got to fix the O-line. I think Smith is the top priority. And then it's you got to figure out left tackle. And then the other overarching theme I thought coming out of that game was they have got to get faster on offense. Yeah. Worthy obviously is very fast. That's great. Rice is going to be a terrific player, and he serves his purpose in the slot. They need speed on that offense. And in the backfield, they need it on the other side at receiver across from Worthy. Like they were painfully slow, and the Eagles exposed it.
I know that you can find like fast wide receivers. Those come quite often in the NFL draft now, and Rice and Worthy are enough to kind of go with it. Running back, yep. I mean, I don't know how far you've looked in the draft yet. I know you'll be in Indianapolis in a couple of weeks. By all accounts, it's a really good draft for that, right? They shouldn't have any trouble finding a speedy back in this draft.
No, God, no. You know, this draft's kind of weird in the sense, like, if you talk to some people in the league, they think it's a pretty deep draft, and other people will tell you they don't think it's a great draft. So it's kind of a varying difference of opinion on it. But one thing everybody agrees on is it's a great running back class. Like, there are some people in Mobile that would flat out tell you they thought this is almost like two draft class in one, basically, for running backs. So, no, they're going to have their pick. Like, if I'm the Chiefs, and of course, if they could move up, move down, whatever, but like, as things sit, they have four picks in the top 100. If I'm Kansas City, pie in the sky, I'm sitting there going, all right, with those four picks, I'm taking an edge rusher, I'm taking a running back, I'm taking a left tackle, and I'm taking a corner. Like, that's my mentality. Now, you know, look, you want to argue, say, hey, well, maybe you take a receiver. You know, it depends, obviously, how the board falls. But, yeah, they've got to get more explosive in the backfield. They desperately need to add somebody out of the backfield who threatens the defense. And then, yeah, obviously, look, Worthy and Rice, the good news, that's a great combination. It's a combination. They fit well together. They're both really good. They're both really young. They're cheap. And to that point, I do wonder, and this is completely just my own two cents and speculation, like, if you're the Chiefs, especially if you're going to draft a tackle, do you maybe open up some cap space and go for a big-name receiver this offseason? Is that something you maybe consider because you're not paying anybody else at receiver?
I think that's an easier decision to make, Matt, if Travis Kelce decides to retire. Because then it frees up the $17 million next year in order to kind of do however it is you want to do that. And to your point, yeah, super cheap at wide receiver over the next couple of years. But I think that's probably Travis Kelce dependent. And look, if you listen to the New Heights thing like I did today, that doesn't sound like a guy who's going to play football next year. But I also think 3 days after the Super Bowl is going to be a tough time to evaluate whether or not how someone's feeling about it.
Well, so here's my thing with the Chiefs. Right, because I've already had a lot of people say in the last few days when I've gone on radio hits and stuff like that, they don't have any cap space. Well, sure, right now they don't. They could open up $50 million with the blink of an eye if they want to do it. I mean, they first of all, they have the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card, their cap space with Mahomes' contract. Okay, they could restructure him and save $38 million this offseason if they want to do it. Now, they don't have to do that. They don't have to do all of it. They could do some of it, but they have that option. Tooney is due $26.9 million against the cap this year. That is, to me, the easiest extension in the world. Just extend them for 2 years and lower the cap by $15 million. Because, to me, the Trey Smith thing is a misnomer in the sense, a lot of people, they can't afford him. Sure they can. If they extend Tooney and lower that hit, Trey Smith, like, let's say he gets a five-year, $100 million deal. Let's say he gets Robert Hunt's contract. Robert Hunt, this year, his cap hit was $6 million. Like, they can absolutely afford Trey Smith. And then by the time it gets expensive next year, Juwan Taylor's gone. And by cutting Juwan Taylor next year, they save $20 million. So if I'm the Chiefs, I'm going into this offseason with the mentality of, look, defensively, adjustment here, adjustment there, but we're fine. Offensively, it's got to be the focus. You sign Smith, you figure out left tackle. That's the big overarching question. And then, look, I mean, the receivers, there are a lot of guys out there. Like, would the Chiefs shock the world and pay T. Higgins? Like, I don't know. I mean, but they need somebody along with Worthy and Rice who you're like, all right, that guy's a real threat. And they got to get back to throwing the ball down the field and not having the lowest ADOT in the league like they did this year.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated here. Again, his perspective on an early look on what the offseason could be. We played the audio earlier today. I'm sure you've heard it from New Heights, Travis Kelce talking about potential retirement, and it was about as honest as you'll ever hear a player. I know it's a few days after the Super Bowl, but listen to that. If I didn't tell you any other information about the money or anything, that sounds like a guy that's retiring, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I also subscribe to, like, it's a half week out of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And listen, I was at that game. Obviously, I was up in the press box. He looked, I mean, I kind of hesitate to say this because he's an all-time great player. He was brutal. I mean, he couldn't move. And I don't know whether – I always hesitate because you don't know what guys – are they hurt? You know, is there something going on? But, like, there were a lot of plays, and now they've been parsed out to death on Twitter, for better or worse. But, like, he didn't even touch guys trying to block him. I mean, is that, like – I know it's not an effort thing with Travis Kelce. Is he hurt? Is he just physically to the point he just cannot play the position anymore? Like, I don't know. But that's another – listen, that's a tough conversation if you're the Chiefs internal you're having through right now. Let's be honest. It's called what it is. Like, he's due almost $20 million against the cap this year. If they cut him, they save over $17 million. Now, I can't imagine a world they're cutting Travis Kelce. But is there a world where they call him in and say, look, man – like, we're gonna split the year up and give you a void year on the back end, but like we're saving $9 million this year, and if you come back, you're a third or fourth option. Because that to me, and we don't have enough time in the world to do this right now, but like that's the story of this offseason. This offense can no longer go through Travis Kelce. It's got to go through Worthy and Rice. And that's where they are going to have a sea change with the way they play.
In fairness, I thought they had already made that change at the beginning of this season with Rashee Rice.
Yeah, he got hurt.
And then
yep.
he got hurt. It seemed like it was going through Rashee Rice. And then he got hurt. And then their plans in that regard kind of changed. Do you think, when the comes to the offense, this is kind of a minor thing. I'm not crazy. I don't come in here and be like, fire them all. Heck, can't coach offensive line players, and Matt Nagy has nothing to do with the offense because they were in three straight Super Bowls and won two but fell short in the third. But I do think they could use a fresh voice inside the offense, as in somebody outside their own circle of trust with a different idea of looking at it. And largely for me, it's because of the deep passing game and the inability to work it off of the running game and the things you said, the average depth of target. Could they use a fresh mind inside there, not to stir everything up, but just to look at it differently?
Oh, I absolutely think they should do that. I don't think they will. Because it's not the way Andy operates. Like, Matt Nagy's probably got a job there for 30 years if he wants one. I think they do need one. Look, the way they played offense last year, they had no choice. They just couldn't function. They had no receivers. It was ridiculous. Like, how that team won a Super Bowl, that'll be studied by future civilization. This year, it was maddening to watch them not try to stretch the field with Worthy. At times, where they would just, it was like they gave up halfway through the year. And then, ironically, when they were down a million points in the Super Bowl, Mahomes throws the best pass of the entire season and hits him in the hand 70 yards downfield. Like, they need to stop allowing teams to dictate how they play. You know, you watch the Bengals. The Bengals can't block anybody. Burrow's back there's well on the ball. I get it. He's got Higgins and Chase. I understand that. But if Rice comes back this year healthy, you have two really good young receivers. You need to throw the ball down the field. You need to be aggressive in the way you play. You need to put teams on their heels. And that is something that the last couple of years, sometimes because they literally just couldn't do it, and sometimes by their own choice, they didn't. And that's why I do wonder this year, like, would they spend big-time money on another receiver and just go into the offseason and be like, look, we're coming out of this thing where we are obscenely explosive, and there's nobody who's stopping this team. I wonder if that's kind of the lesson to come out of this. Is we're not going to let Mahomes be neutered year in and year out if one guy gets hurt.
Lastly for you, Matt, we talked about potentially extensions for guys like Trey Smith and others. What about Trent McDuffie? Is he kind of the most obvious guy that's going to get taken care of this offseason?
He should. He should. Obviously, he's extension eligible. He's got 2 years left, including the fifth-year option, which, of course, they'll pick up. They'll pick up Carl Loftus's. Look, McDuffie's going to, be an incredibly expensive guy to pay. But, if you extend them now, you are going to get probably the best deal you're going to get. And that money's not kicking in for years. So that's fine, right? Like, look, I think they're going to extend McDuffie at some point, whether it's this year or next year. I mean, they're going to extend him. Carl Loftus, I think they will extend. Obviously, he's not going to be as expensive as McDuffie. Whether that's this year or next year, who knows? My guess is he'll probably wait. But the real questions for me are, okay, are you going to keep Trey Smith? I think you have to. I think you're compelled to, but we'll see what they do. And then defensively, Nick Bolton, Tashaun Wharton, Justin Reed, Charles Omenihu, you're not keeping them all. How many are you keeping? You keeping one? You keeping two? I mean, Bolton to me is the biggest, I could see him getting 3-39, and I could see some team giving him 4-70. Like, I just think it depends. It depends. His market to me is fascinating. And I think it depends a lot on whether or not he comes back is what that market looks like.
Matt Verderam, staff writer for Sports Illustrated. Great work throughout the season, man. We really appreciate you hopping on. And I'm sure once we get in the heart of the league year and stuff, we'll check back in.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
There you go. Matt Verderam.
Years in a month.
I know it. It's crazy. The Nick Bolton thing kind of goes back to how we were discussing it. It's like, it depends. Are we talking $12 million a year? Or as he said, like, what was that?
17
million a year. You know, like, it's a huge range. And
is
if it's on the higher end.
16, 17? Even a bad team?
You know how this plays out. Take care
of your business, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Your earning window is small. All of the things. I get it. I really do get it.
Yeah. Hard to fault anybody for we're talking $5 million a year differences.
I'd leave the show for $5 million additional dollars a year.
Would you? Would you do
I'd
that?
I'd be gone. You'd never see me again.
$5 million?
Yes. $5 million? Dude, I'd be.
Let's be real. That number's even a lot lower. That number's lower than that.
I'd be over on some other podcast network. You doesn't wouldn't even matter the name. It'd be the Tennessee Titans equivalent of platform.
You're gonna do Locked On for the Titans?
Nah, worse. Well, Locked On's worse. Like I wouldn't like. It's got to be even below that if we're talking about like organizationally. It's got to be like some platform I've never even heard of, like the I-70 podcast series, and I don't even know if that exists.
Wow.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
I'm sure it is.
Well, I didn't know.
No, you got invited on this guy's podcast. That was
not that guy.
That's his name.
Oh, I thought it was a different one.
It's called like the I-70 podcast or something.
Well, you know what I mean? Just like whatever.
Just throwing shots at nice people out there, you know?
Hold on. I was thinking that was a made up one. I should have gone with the I-635 podcast.
That would be made up.
Okay. You know, we only cover the loop on the Kansas side.
That's right.
I think the
K-10 podcast.
The K-10 podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd be over there for $5 million.
Yeah. Who in the world would you cover on the K-10 podcast?
The things that happen. Well,
that's Eudora. That's Lawrence.
Yeah. Eudora High School. Anything on the K-10.
High school football.
Dude,
right.
Anything on the K-10 corridor for $5 million.
That's right.
You have to be within 5 minutes of K-10.
That's right. You can cover Olathe a little bit there, too. You know, you got it all.
I get a little bit close. I get to that, like, Lenexa area, you know?
That's right. Yeah, just barely Lenexa. Yep.
I thought Matt brought up it's not even funny. It's just the point of just unleashing Xavier Worthy.
Sure.
Where, Cody, I'm watching the game at that point, and yes, we all know the game's over. But they decided to finally just say, you know what, we're just going to throw the ball deep and let Xavier try to do his thing. And it's like, how many times could they have just done this?
There was one earlier in the game when he held it. I know.
He has the speed. At what point did they really decide, you know what, this is just how we're going to run our offense, and it's just the way that it's going to be? We talked about it all season long. Why do they keep on skirting by these games? Because Andy gets comfortable.
Yeah, you don't have to. And I don't blame them for the if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality, right?
They won 15 games, so I'll remind everybody.
There is a part of that that, like, it does fundamentally make sense. But, yeah, to your point, had they 1-11 and were clawing and scratching and fighting, would they have tried some other things? Yeah, probably. They probably would have. But what they were doing got them all the way to the Super Bowl. I get
it. Also got them killed, though, in the same
breath. But like,
got
they
them killed.
But there's no way they could have thought that was going to happen. They were back-to-back Super Bowl champions running four-yard routes for two consecutive years.
Yeah.
And it got them a Super Bowl championship. It got them all the way back to the Super Bowl. I got to be honest. It's borderline impossible to think after that amount of success consecutively. Two consecutive years winning the Super Bowl and a third straight year being in there. There is no way you thought there was any chance, if you were organizationally, that plan was getting your ass kicked. So, yeah, when you got nothing to lose and you just start rocket firing 70-yard passes down the field to Xavier Worthy, it's like, damn, where was that all year? There was no reason to get into that. Because
everything you were asking was working for it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the fans were.
I mean, everybody loves the exciting 50-yard touchdown or whatever. But this goes back to pick any team. Like, were there teams this year that had more explosive offenses? Of course, there were like 9 of them. Were there teams that had wide receivers that had more touchdowns over 40 yards? Yes, there was probably half the league that might have had that. But you won 15 games when you went to the Super Bowl. You weren't like, we don't need to all of a sudden act like it would be better to be a 10-win team that barely made the playoffs and threw the ball down the field. Like, let's not get crazy here. They will need to pivot this offseason and utilize that aspect and take advantage of it, that they have Xavier Worthy to stretch the field and figure out why on earth that did not happen sooner. I think a offensive line play was a big part of that still.
It feels like they just ignored it, though. Like what Matt said, like Burrow is one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and he was slicing and dicing everywhere.
Here we go.
So why you ignored
9 games,
but you ignored what you had is what Matt I think was saying, and I think there's a point.
They didn't have
that
Jamar Chase. He didn't have the wide receiver.
But,
weapons.
You know, you had Xavier Worthy this whole time.
He's not Jamar Chase.
I know, but he's.
I love Worthy, buddy, but he's not a top 5
to,
receiver.
But he's proven multiple times over the back half of the season that you can take a shot and say, you know what, F it, I'm going to throw the ball and let the first round pick who has that 4-2-1 speed get the ball, and he did it. Multiple times. It's like they ignored what they had because they were content in just running the offense the way that they did.
They won 15 games.
I know, but they ignored a part of the offense that
they didn't think it mattered.
That they could have used in the first quarter or anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you're right. We did mention the deep passing all year. Like, hey, we would love to see it, but like, I do think
it's not like they didn't have anybody.
I understand, but it while we mention it during the season, you did as well, that they should take some shots down the field early on, how frustrating it was. They were just missing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I get it. We all said that. But it is, to me, extremely hindsight 2020 to now say, like, well, how the hell did they not do it more? That's why they got blown out. Like, that's a little, that is hindsight being very, very 2020. They won 15 games, went to the Super Bowl, and they got their ass kicked. But it's not because they didn't take shots down the field all season.
But I think it's, to Matt's point, it's coaching not looking at what you have as a unit and trying to utilize it to your advantage and waiting until it's too late and you're down by 30 to take advantage of something that you have in your offense. It's not like Xavier Worthy is a bum and they just decide, you know what, we're just going to take a shot because we're down by 30. He's capable of making those plays.
Right.
But they didn't use it. And not
they
to say
didn't
that
have
it,
to.
Not to say that, I know, but not to say that it would have really affected the outcome of the game. But to Matt's point, if they lose and it's 27-24, are we sure that this isn't the same sort of style of offense that they just throw out next year and they aren't as aggressive?
Well, that's point is correct, I think. Like that's a different saying that a blowout loss can cause you to rethink everything. Yeah, I agree with that in every sport. Like that, I'm not disagreeing with that. But acting like because they got blown out is the proof of why they screwed up all year when they won 15 games. I just firmly disagree.
Super Bowl, yeah.
Like I'm with you that I think everybody, if you have a massive failure in what you do for a living, in this case, coaching football for Andy Reid, you're going
to
reevaluate what the hell did we do wrong? What did we not see? And yeah, I think part of that will be, hey, we got to next year, if we want to be more explosive, Xavier Worthy has to be part of that. I don't think that's a wrong assessment. And if that's what you're saying, then I'm 100% with you. If you're saying though, that they should have known all along and that this was coming in the Super Bowl and they were going to get blown out, like that's BS, frankly.
Well, it's part of the issue of Andy's lack of aggressiveness throughout and what Matt said about being the aggressor on offense. You dictate how defenses play you. You don't just say, well, this is what we're going to do and we're going to deal with it and we're going to dink and dunk and we'll hope that Travis Kelce is good enough to go and we're not going to take advantage of what the offense could be. That's what Matt said.
No,
I mean, that's the way it sounded.
Well,
is that they ignored their lack of aggressiveness came back to bite them in the way that they got content in how they should run the offense.
Yes, in the Super Bowl when they ran into a buzzsaw. Correct, but they won. I don't know how many times they won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl, dude. We can't act like it was. Oh, like clearly they just weren't good enough on that. No, in that game against the Eagles. Personnel-wise, that defensive front destroyed them. We're acting like on the first four plays of the game, if they would have taken a deep shot, the game would have been much different. They couldn't do that. Later in the game, the Eagles, the same way we talked about effort from the Chiefs, maybe looking different in the fourth quarter. Do you think that Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean were playing in the exact same effort level on the Worthy deep pass as they were in the first quarter?
I wouldn't.
But we've been
also
begging them all year to intricate it into a game plan, and they don't do. They are blatantly, they have ignored a segment of the offense that could be effective for them and give Patrick break.
But I would make the argument that they did not ignore it.
They couldn't do it
because of their poor offensive line.
But Matt gave the example
I think it might have been more of a conscious decision.
But Matt gave the example of one team in particular that has a garbage offensive line that takes advantage and is aggressive and just says, Mahomes, we're going
to
let you throw it all over the yard.
Because their defense gave up 60 points a game.
I know, but
Patrick Mahomes scored 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards when his defense stunk too. The numbers don't matter in this situation.
But why would you take your foot off the gas pedal because your defense is really good?
That's what good teams do.
Andy Reid, he coached to win games, and they won 15 of them. That's as simple as I can say. They coached to win games, they won 15 of them. It obviously was not good enough in the Super Bowl. We all discussed on Monday and Tuesday that the game plan sucked. I'm with you. The game plan sucked in the Super Bowl. I also think they could have played it five times in a row, and because of their personnel deficiencies on the O-line, they were never winning that football game. I completely disagree, though, with like the just the notion that, like, well, the Bengals put up, this isn't fantasy football. It's great that Ja'Marr Chase had the triple crown this year. What do they have to show for that? Nothing.
I understand, but if you think if that offense is as aggressive as, let's say, the Bengals, as Matt's point, as Matt used, if they're as aggressive as they are, and they say, Mahomes, you're the best quarterback in the league. We know this. We're going to let you make the decisions because you are smart. We're going to give you a game plan that allows you to go in multiple phases of the defense, stretch the field. You can make those throws. Why? Since they have a great defense, if they stretch the field and were aggressive, we might be talking about one of the best teams in NFL history in terms of them being able to do
things. They didn't lose the Super Bowl because they didn't take deep shots. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that's what, to Matt's point, they were uber aggressive in letting their quarterback throw the ball all over the yard, not just
But the team's not the same. Cincinnati's offensive. First, I would argue that Cincinnati's offensive line was actually better than Kansas City's this year.
They were not.
And I would. They gave up a similar number of sacks per game. So, like, I don't know why it can't be on the table. If they give him a similar number of sacks per game, and Patrick Mahomes typically doesn't take sacks, it actually says more about Mahomes if that would be the case. And I'll be honest, as much as we talk about these teams or bad teams, Cincinnati's weapons were better. So they could be more aggressive just based on talent alone. We should break.
We are late again. We are late. And good discussion
this
time. Good discussion there. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll read a couple of your texts on this as well and talk a little bit more about what's happening in New York with their...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Quarterback situation.
What's trending?
What's trending on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one on what's trending has been the comments from Travis Kelce from his New Heights podcast. We played some of the audio earlier. We've been asking our guests throughout the show their take on it. He was very honest about he's going to give it some time, a few more weeks to decide what his future is. Acknowledged that there were some times during the season where it was kind of driving him crazy, just like the grind of an NFL season. And that's something that he has to make sure that he's not half-assing it, that he can be there 100% for his teammates. That is all going to be part of the decision-making process for him. And the bonus, that roster bonus that he's due, is right around the league year. So, you know, could be a couple weeks away before we have any more insight.
Next on What's Trending, pitchers and catchers report today in Surprise, Arizona. So thank you, Chiefs, for tightening up the window between that and baseball. Alec Marsh had right shoulder tightness this offseason, so he's throwing. Be a little delayed in facing hitters out there in spring training. And James MacArthur, who had right elbow surgery this offseason, will be starting his throwing program late as well. So could have an impact on the back end of the rotation. Could have an impact on who starts in the bullpen, certainly. But those guys are expected to probably still make an appearance at some point in spring training, but you won't hear those names early on.
Next on What's Trending, college basketball. Kansas State got a 73-70 win over top 25 Arizona. That's six wins in a row for the Wildcats.
Four against top 25 teams.
With, what, six games or so to go? Mm-hmm. They're 13-11, making a little bit of a run. We ran out of time. We went late. We were going to talk more about K-State in that last segment. Maybe we'll work that in here after What's Trending a little bit more. But also, K, you got a win against Colorado, 71-59 in Lawrence yesterday.
Lastly on What's Trending, Ohio State is to finalize a deal to bring in Matt Patricia as their new defensive coordinator. As correctly pointed out by Charles McDonald over on Twitter, he has failed literally everywhere he's been. How does he keep getting a job? I didn't realize. I went through his resume. When he was the guy in charge of the defense by himself in New England, it went terribly. When he was a head coach, it went terribly. When he went back to be the offensive coordinator in New England, it went terribly. He's never been successful. How the hell does he keep getting jobs? He hasn't been successful in 10 years. That's a big job, defensive coordinator of Ohio State, sure, to the defending national champions.
That's all. He'll have a major talent advantage over most people, too.
Shocked. You know, Vrabel didn't go his way, you know? He didn't bring him in as a defensive coordinator.
Well, the thought there was
The
thought was more if Ryan Day got fired, that Vrabel maybe would take the Ohio State job. Remember, that was like way before they went on the run, obviously.
I do remember that.
That is What's Trending.
You got a big boy job, an NFL job.
Here on Cody and Gold. Real quick, since we mentioned K-State, then we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff for a second. K-State, They've won six in a row. They dug themselves such a hole that they still have plenty of work cut out for, but they're playing better than anybody else in college basketball as it sits right now in middle of February. Now, upcoming games for them, if you're wondering. So they'll take on BYU on Saturday. Then they're at Utah, host Arizona State, at UCF. Those are all
very
winnable games. Hosting Colorado, winnable. At Cincinnati, winnable. And then they wrap it up with a team they already beat in upset fashion. This time in Manhattan, they'll take on number 10 Iowa State to wrap up the regular season. So what is that? Six games left. If they win
and
all
14 wins now, so they can
13,
get to
right? Aren't they at 13?
Maybe
13-11. Yeah, 13-11. They're 7-6 in conference play. Let's say best. So they run the table, which would be another top 10 win. That's a big ask, but let's say they did that. That gets them to 19-11 entering the Big 12 tournament. Andy had five top 25 wins and another top 10 win under that scenario.
What?
The path to get there, if they do that, they don't have to win the Big 12.
Correct.
If they do that, they maybe don't have to win like one game in the Big 12 tournament, depending on how soft the bubble is there. Now, if they drop another game or two prior, then I think they're back in position where they would have to get to a Big 12 title game.
At least. And that's
not winning.
And that's unfortunately the problem they've put themselves in, as you mentioned. What stood out to me last night, and the reason why they are playing the best basketball, is they didn't even play that good last night. I watched a good chunk of the game. They did not even play well. Shot the three poorly, didn't take care of it the way they took care of it against Kansas, in which they essentially had no turnovers for two halves and kind of controlled that game from start to finish. But didn't matter. Didn't matter. McDaniel was still great. They got contributions from multiple other guys on the roster. And again, you don't accidentally win six in a row and four against ranked opponents, especially ranked opponents on the road. Like, you didn't have all these games weren't just like in the comfort of Bramlage. They had to go on the road for half of them. They had to beat Iowa State at Iowa State. So, like, I do think there'll be some committee members that if they got to 19 wins would be like, but that team's as dangerous as anybody. And we know that they say that it's supposed to just be resume. They're going to have the quad one, quad two stuff because of all these ranked opponents. And you'll just be like, damn, they can beat anybody. They can beat a team that we're going to put as a 2 seed in Iowa State. They can beat Kansas, who we're going to put as a 3 or a 4 seed. They can beat it. You know, like, they're going to look at it and have a hard time not wanting to put them in. But they can't go like 4-2 or 3-3 in the final six. They got to win 5 or 6 of these final six.
They almost have to be perfect. Yeah. They still, I mean, if you look at the latest bracketology stuff, you know, where they, Lenardi will show like the last 4 in, then the first 4 out, and the next 4 out. They're not anywhere near that right now. Like, they're not listed on that kind of stuff now. Some of the teams that are listed as, you know, first 4 out, next 4 out, those are teams like North Carolina and Arkansas, who already have, I think, 16 or 17 wins, whereas K-State's sitting at 13. Now, we can get into, like, who has more impressive, but you're not going to be a 17-win tournament team, right? So, like, you're going to have to get to that 18 to 20 mark entering the Big 12 tournament. 18 to 20 range, entering the Big 12 tourney, and then depending on which number you're at, and was one of those wins against Iowa State again at the last game of the season, can you get to the semifinals of the Big 12 championship? Can you get to the finals of that?
I'd like all three locals to make the tournament. It makes it for way more fun on the air, and then you get to kind of see who goes where, if they get lined up in the brackets together, all this stuff. I fear this is starting to reek like Kansas football's season, which was screw everything up for months and months and months, get white hot, losing the first round of the Big 12 tournament, and then they tell you you can't go to the party anyway. And I hope it doesn't happen for K-State's sake. This is the problem with starting a season slow. One little oopsie later on in the year on a Wednesday or a Thursday, I guess maybe it's like Tuesday or Wednesday game now. The Big 12 tournament's got more teams now, so I forget when it starts. But one little screw up in the early part of the tournament, you got problems. Because you're right. Right now, as it sits, Kansas State's one of the 25 best teams in the country. Right now. As they're playing, as they're constructed, they are one of the 25 best teams in the country. All the losses that they lost earlier in the year are holding them back in that regard, or they'd be ranked the same as Kansas or Missouri. They're just as good as those teams right now, the way that they're playing.
Yeah, but this is why they play a full college basketball season.
But yeah, you're right. like, you don't get to just take November off. You don't get to just take December off. You have to play good basketball long before you get to this point. So I hope for their sake it doesn't end the way I thought. Kansas football should have been a bowl team. Should have competed for some real stuff. Should have been a hard out for a lot of teams, but blew it for a huge chunk of their season, then try to make it all up at the end just to come up short.
So conference-wise, I mean, 7 wins, they have a chance. If they go on the run that they're on right now and continue, they could finish in the top 5 of the Big 12, that, you know, based off of just the conference record, because they're tied with Baylor and BYU at 7-6. Their conference record-wise, only one worse than Kansas. They're two back of Iowa State, even.
Yeah, they're close. Well, they've beaten again. They've got to play Iowa State again, and I don't think that's an easy one. Just because you won the first one, I wouldn't just pencil in win two. And they had to claw and scratch and fight for that Arizona win. Because they didn't shoot the ball well from 3 for a huge chunk of that game, they were in kind of a dogfight when it didn't feel like it needed to be one. But they won, so it doesn't matter, and you get the credit for it. But yeah, they're one of the most interesting teams the rest of the way in college basketball. Because if they had just won like 2 or 3 more, not even like a crazy amount, 2 more games in November and December total.
Oh, yeah.
So like 1 each month. They're definitely a bubble team and a team we discuss in the tournament and a team who's getting hot, you know, in February. A decent time to get hot in college basketball. Obviously, March is better. But like if you're going to play good basketball, this is around the time you want to start doing it. Versus Kansas, I'll be honest. I watched part of that Kansas game last night. That team is playing the most uninspired basketball I've seen out of Kansas in like a decade. It is awful product to consume right now.
Absolutely. I was going to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but did you guys see the news that just came out this afternoon? So did you see the video last night circulating with John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr.?
I did.
Okay, right. Like they're in the middle. They're in the middle. And John Rocker's been Mr. Roy Rage his entire life. He was on Bourbon Street, and I guess somehow there was some altercation. They were yelling at each other, and whatever. Barstool just announced, this is real, I swear, the paperwork has been signed. Pat Mahomes Sr. versus John Rocker at Rough and Rowdy April 19th, which is like their, you know, like amateur, you know, fighting thing that they do at Barstool.
Why?
I don't know. Well, money. I think they get. Don't they get? I don't know if they get it when the contract when it's signed, or if they get it when they actually win. But that is a win for Barstool, because now people are going to talk about it, I guess. But John Rocker, they were back and forth on Twitter yesterday too, arguing with each other. It was ugly, a little ugly.
Yeah. I mean, he sucked forever.
Pat Mahomes Sr. said, "You really haven't changed one bit in the last 25 years. Keep my name out of your loud mouth." To him. Like, so,
dude,
this is happening, I guess.
Pat, dude, pay your dad whatever he's getting paid by Barstool not to do this.
Yeah.
Don't let him get in a ring with John Rocker.
He signed the paperwork. Paperwork was signed. Dave Portnoy just put out a video. Like, this is not some made-up thing.
I did see them arguing on the streets of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. I hadn't thought of the name John Rocker in so long. Oh. Do you even know who John Rocker is? Are you familiar with that as a person?
No.
Okay.
In fairness,
that's outside of like the cultural.
We were very young when he was playing, man.
Like, well, I remember like all the John Rocker stuff, but I'm like 6 years older than you, so like
50 years old now.
He played baseball.
Yes. Yeah. He's 50.
I gathered that from the conversation.
He was like a big roided up muscle man who for a while caught some attention because he was essentially like the Eastbound and Down version of an actual person, right? If you've seen that show with Danny McBride, he was essentially that. He was just like American fireworks, and he was all like jacked up and energetic and kind of nuts. And so people kind of like he caught a little, you know, media attention because of that. Now he's just
He was never an all-star. He never like was reliever of the year. He was just his personality is what got him a lot of attention. He had a couple nice years in the league. You know, he had his first 3 years sub-3 ERA, sub-2.5 ERA, I guess it was, and then he stopped playing at the age of 28 in 2003. He played 6 years in the big leagues, but yes. For whatever reason, he was down on Bourbon Street, like everybody was. And
could you imagine you just walking down Bourbon Street, Gold? You and I had gone down there, and all of a sudden, like John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. just yelling at each other, like, "What the hell am I watching right now?"
I would be very confused.
I wouldn't honestly know it was John Rocker.
I'd be
right
very,
away.
Very confused.
I wouldn't know it was John Rocker.
Someone says they think the whole thing was staged. Who knows? I mean,
staged really? I mean, it looked like a pretty real. I mean, now that they're boxing, maybe.
Now I'm sure they're just like now they might be doing when they realize there's money. But on Bourbon Street, it kind of seemed like it was,
they're saying maybe it was staged to set up this fight. I mean, I guess that's possible, but I have a harder time imagining that. All right, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers because we didn't get to it today, and we wanted to talk about it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
You seem very proud of Aaron Glenn. Because we've spent plenty of time making fun of the Jets organization for real reasons that are they are a trash franchise. I was stunned when I saw the same report you did, which was when Aaron Glenn invited Aaron Rodgers to his little meeting to decide whether or not they were going to move forward with him. He told him no more Pat McAfee interview.
Yeah, that was one
no
of the reportedly.
Now, there was reportedly a lot of things that they were going to want out of him, but that was one of them. I can't believe he actually said it. Kind of good for him, right? For being like, hey, we don't want the distractions, but surprised.
I just wouldn't bring him back because he's not a good quarterback at this point in time. But this was their way of making it seem a little bit more like, all right, well, he had a choice. You know, we kind of would have, like, from a PR perspective, we would have kind of let him come back. But he decided not to follow kind of what we were wanting to do. But Aaron Glenn, you have to change the entire culture there. Robert Saleh got ran all over by Aaron Rodgers and others in that organization. He had no control. So now Aaron Glenn comes in and he's setting the tone immediately. Now he has to find a quarterback still if it's going to work, but he's setting the tone immediately. Like, nope, nobody is going to just do whatever the hell they want because their name is Aaron Rodgers or their name is whoever. I'm in charge kind of thing. And I think that is where I like the start already for Aaron Glenn. You know, he had that press conference when reporters were asking like what kind of coach he is. And they're like, you know, are you like Bill Parcells because you've got connections? He's like, I'm Aaron Glenn. He's like, I'm going to be Aaron Glenn. Like, I like his whole vibe. Will it work out? He's got to find a quarterback. But, good for him. No more of this. Like, you're just going to do whatever you want because you used to be really good.
It
no,
actually kind of
no.
makes Saleh look, more than it makes Aaron Glenn look good, it makes Robert Saleh look like a coward. Could you not stand up to any of this at any point? He was railroading your entire organization, and you just, like, stood idly by while he just, like, went and did TV interviews and bashed it. And I get it. Like, Andy Reid is pretty much like anti-media if he can avoid it for his players, right? Like, if he had a choice, even Travis Kelce wouldn't do New Heights. Now, you can get big enough that you're kind of outside of that, which Aaron Rodgers obviously was. But Travis Kelce doesn't go on there and start bad-mouthing every member of the organization or the team or all the other ludicrous, like, stuff he says of all kinds of nature. Like, you can't have it. Like, if you're Aaron Glenn, you got to kind of start from scratch. There's been a lot of weird sounds.
What's going
outside
on in the building?
Gold's looking around. I'm just hearing like hammering or something. Well, they were at some point working on the HVAC, But then you and I heard like a loud thud earlier, and I wasn't sure what it was from. You had any idea what that was?
I know they were still working on like the generator, weren't they? Not, I don't think today, but there was some other work going on.
Somebody's working on this closet on the HVAC system. Like the whole panel off for like the for like an air duct. Drew's looking at me like maybe he knows what's going on.
Well, no, I don't.
Drew, are you handy?
I agree with what you're saying.
Are you handy? Can you fix things?
No, not very
okay,
well.
I know Alex is not handy. We've discussed right. that on the show
yes.
before.
Establish that.
When we were on the bullpen earlier talking to Grayson about the car stuff, I'm interested in that stuff. I think it's fun to, it would be fun to learn that stuff. I don't know how to fix things very well.
But some of those things you can fix. Our nice colleague over at KMBZ was offering to help Alex with his brakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did.
Was that just unvoluntary?
Yeah. He's like, how long do you want to wait? He's like, when it warms up, I'll just do it. I was like, well, if I can wait that long, then I might take you up on that for the front. I need some new front rotors. So, yeah. If not, I'll just go and pay for it. But
you're not going to. So his conversation didn't convince you. You know what? Maybe I should get these hands a little dirty. I should get in there. And take these brakes off. Because, like, I could change your rotors.
Some things are just worth the money.
I don't disagree with that. I do think that there's a my time has value, and sometimes that matters.
I don't know if we want to bring this up at the end of the show, but there's some bad allegations out there around Kadarius Toney that just came out from TMZ. So,
I didn't see it.
According to police, read you the headline. Kadarius Toney arrested. Cops say he strangled a woman.
Jesus.
This is from TMZ. Two-time Super Bowl champion Kadarius Toney was arrested last week over allegations. He strangled a woman, according to police documents we obtained. This is TMZ. The former Chiefs wide receiver was accused of putting his hands around a woman's throat during a dispute at a Georgia residence on January 14th and, quote, squeezing with enough force to cause her to be unable to breathe. Jeez. Docs state the alleged tech left the woman with red marks on her neck and issues with her eyes. Additionally, authorities wrote in documents that he took the woman's phone from her during the altercation in order to prevent her from dialing 911. Those are the allegations. He was out on bond, $25,000 on each count. That'll be something to keep
an eye
on.
That'll be the end of his NFL career.
If that's true, yeah. Yeah. If that's the case. Anyway, just saw that come across. That'll do it for us today. You're out tomorrow. You're back next Tuesday because we have the President's Day. Bink, I believe, depending on the weather, going to be in
with
Drew and I.
Seems like it stops snowing, so we're probably good.
I think Bink will be in with us tomorrow. We'll obviously get his perspective on the offseason and maybe just a little mock draftish just because Bink's in. That's coming up tomorrow. The Drive up next.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.